If you would hand out, maybe you've done it already, the Forms and Prayers books, and we turn in that book to 256. 256, at the top of the page, we find Lord's Day 50 and what we confess regarding the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Page 256 in the Forms and Prayers books. We'll express this answer together to question 125 at the top of the page. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. And I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, as we read together verses 22 through 34. 22 through 34. Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 22. Again, this is God's holy word. And he, that is Jesus, said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, we pray God would bless the reading of his word to us. Let's just bow in just a brief moment of prayer, asking for God's blessing on his word tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, indeed, as your word says, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. And Father, we know that it is only by the power and the working of your Holy Spirit that your word can become alive to us in our hearts and lives. And we pray for that even in this night. So we pray, Heavenly Father, bless us as you alone are able to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved congregation, in Christ the Lord, we come now to the fourth petition, obviously. And with this fourth petition, we are taught that we bring our needs before our Heavenly Father's throne of grace. This fourth petition, you see, deals with our appetite. But not simply, literally, an appetite for food, but for the things of this life for which we all have a certain appetite. And now with the fourth petition, we see that there can be a big difference between what we are hungry for and that for which Christians are called to be hungry. With this petition, of course, we ask for our daily bread. And you recall, of course, as a bit of a review, that with the first three petitions, those first three deal with an application of the work of Jesus Christ. And in them, we ask that God, by His Holy Spirit, would work in us, that He would work in us as believers, that we might know Him more and more, that we might honor His name more and more, that we might submit more and more to His kingdom and to His rule, and that we might delight in and be obedient to the very will of God. And all of this then with the goal of leading to the perfection of His kingdom and to the new heavens and the new earth. And with these final three petitions now, which deal with the believer, with these petitions, we beg for our Heavenly Father's provision. We beg for our Heavenly Father's grace of forgiveness. We beg for his support of resisting the evil one. And we beg for these things of our Heavenly Father as long as we are between the world from which He has called us and the world to which we are going. Now, if we are honest, we would say that we would distinguish between our physical and our spiritual needs. And maybe in piousness, we might say, well, forgiveness and strength to fight evil, well, these are more important than physical bread. So why does our Lord teach us to ask for daily bread first? However, beloved, remember that for the child of God, all of life is sacred. All of life is sacred. Our Lord redeems us soul and our physical body. And in this life, as long as we are still on this side of glory, we need physical strength to do that which we pray that God will cause us to do in those first three petitions. This physical body is indeed a vehicle, we might say, for this life. It is the vehicle through which we as believers, through which our spiritual life is lived. And our comfort really is that our God does not disregard the flesh. Our comfort is that our physical life is also important to our God. And as long as we are here in this life, we need bread to live. But think about it for a moment. The day that we no longer need bread is also the day then that we no longer need the forgiveness of sins. And we no longer need deliverance from evil. But today is not that day yet. Today we still need bread. And therefore the redeemed are called to grateful living out of the hand of the great provider. And this fourth petition, therefore, is a petition in which we confess the sovereignty of the provider. And we confess our dependence upon, our contentment in, and our confidence in and our contentment with the provider. See, by the very fact that we are taught to look to our Heavenly Father and say, give us, we are confessing, you see, that we need something and that He has what we need. And in this petition prayer then, we plead with Him that He would graciously give us what we need. Someone, maybe one of the children, might say, well, why do we go to the Father asking for bread? I mean, aren't the stores filled with bread? And we would say, well, yeah, ordinarily they're filled with bread. Right now we face a little bit of a supply chain crisis. There are some stores we hear about on the news that the shelves are quite empty. Maybe most of us haven't experienced that yet, but ordinarily, yes, the stores are filled with bread. There are multiple shelves filled with literal bread, and beyond that, there are many, many different kinds of bread on those shelves. So why do we ask our Father for bread? Well, the Catechism answer is helpful when it says that we recognize that You are the only source of everything good. Our God is the only source, as another version of the Catechism says, He is the only fountain of everything good. God is the source. He is the fountain. That's a beautiful imagery if you think about it, a fountain pouring forth in great abundance, giving water. Our God is the provider. But even more than that, He is the only source of anything that can be for Your good and my good and for our benefit. And therefore, this petition, first of all, is a confession of the sovereignty of the provider to whom belong all things. All creation is His. He made it. He says through the psalmist in another place that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to Him. Beloved, we cannot give to Him one thing that does not already belong to Him, except for our sin. That's the only thing that we can give to Him that doesn't already belong to Him. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 104, He is the one who prepares our food and drink. He is the one who prepares our clothing and shelter. But not only for mankind, He does it for all the creatures of the earth as well. The psalmist says, He sends the springs of water to give drink to the animals. He provides trees as homes for the birds. He is the one who waters the hills. In verses 14 and 15 again, we read, You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The psalmist also tells us that all creatures wait upon God, that they wait for God to give them their food in due season. Luke 12, as we read, Jesus reminds us that God feeds the ravens. In a sense, again, they exercise a trust in Him. He clothes the lilies of the field. And again, we know too that nothing happens by chance, but only by the sovereign providing hand of God. Oh, it's true. We speak of the economy, and we speak of industry and commerce, and all of these things we know, of course, play a part in bringing food to our tables. Yet ultimately, it is God. It is God Himself who rules and governs all of these things, and He does so absolutely. And therefore, in whatever way or by whatever means we come by our daily bread, we cannot boast in ourselves. We cannot, we must not boast in our strength, in our wisdom, in our intellect, in our work ethic. We cannot boast in mankind whatsoever. Our boast can be and must only be in God alone. God alone can and must give us our daily bread. As Jesus says in verse 30 of the portion we read. If I can find it here a second. He says in verse 30, And your Father knows that you need them. And we might ask, well, how does He know? Again, because He is sovereign. And His sovereignty includes His omniscience. He knows all things perfectly. He knows all things far in advance. By our sin, beloved, we have forfeited our right to all outward blessings when it comes to this life. We deserve to be completely deprived of all of these things by God. Yet in Christ Jesus, He lifts our eyes to the great provider who alone is the source of everything good. And by looking to our Father in heaven and asking Him, give us this day our daily bread, we also confess in the second place our dependence upon the provider. Again, because God is sovereign, we cannot escape that. And all things belong to Him. All things depend upon Him. And that means that we ourselves, we depend upon Him. We depend upon Him to give us that which we need. In the desert, we know that Israel depended upon God's provision, and they experienced His goodness day by day by day throughout those 40 years with the daily supply of manna and quail. In Psalm 104, verses 28 and 29, when you give it to them, they gather it up, talking about the creatures He had just talked about, and I think this applies as well to mankind. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Again, beloved, all of this may seem somewhat strange to us because ordinarily, as I said a moment ago, we see the grocery stores, we see a multitude of grocery stores, more than we can count, filled to capacity with food. And we see malls and shopping centers line the streets with whatever we need, more than that, whatever we could ever want. But the world in which we live says, well, it's not God. It's not God who drives the economy. Man does through supply and demand. And it's through man's ingenuity that industry operates. Negatively speaking, I guess we could say too, that man drives inflation and recession. The Federal Reserve sets the interest rates. Our president, you see, he creates jobs. He reduces the deficit. At least, he thinks. And our world says, beloved, that it is because of the work of people that things are bought and sold and food is put on our table. And indeed, beloved, we do work. We're supposed to work. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. And this fourth petition, beloved, does not contradict the idea of work, but it demands work. And those who are lazy are, as Proverbs 6, beginning of verse 6 says, to go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Now, beloved, when it comes to literal physical bread now, it is true that it takes a farmer to plant the seed and to raise the wheat. It takes a miller to grind the flour. It takes a baker to bake the bread. And as one gentleman in my first congregation reminded me, because he was a bread truck driver, it takes a bread man to deliver it to the grocery store, and it takes the grocer to sell it. We can go back even before the farmer planting the seed. I know that. But this is all a part of the provision of our Heavenly Father, of whom the psalmist also says again in verse 14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. And I trust the point is clear that God not only created this physical world, but he also created the laws of nature so that the soil would accept the seed, and that with the appropriate amount of sunshine and rain, the seed grows. God created all that we call our natural resources. He hid them in the earth for mankind to discover, and God has given to humans intellect and wisdom and the ability to do their work. He's given to them strength to carry out their tasks. Yet it's all from Him. We can't boast in anything, even the air that we breathe. That's why Paul can say with such confidence, in Him we live and move and have our being. And that is why we can claim no right to do anything. And we depend upon Him for everything, even the ability to get that necessary bread in our hands. We depend upon Him, beloved, for this bread than to have meaning. As we confess, rightly so, neither our care and work, no matter how hard it is, how much effort you put into it, neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Think about that. Even the gifts that God gives to us, apart from His blessing, they will not be for our good. Because without the blessing of God, everything is vanity. It all becomes a curse for man. All that God gives to one, apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a curse for that faithless one. With the blessing of God, all things work for the believer's good and the believer's benefit for eternity. But again, without God's blessing, the more that the unbeliever indulges in, the more danger that one faces. We see that with Asaph in Psalm 73. We remember that he was envious of all of the health and the wealth and the success of the wicked. But then God revealed to Asaph that the wicked were on a slippery slope. And the more that they enjoyed the things of this life apart from God, the more they slid further and further away from Him. And the minor prophets are very, very clear as well that where people rejected God, for example, Micah says in Micah chapter 6, verse 14, he says, you shall eat but not be satisfied, and there shall be hunger within you. You shall put away but not preserve, and what you preserve I will give to the sword. Haggai 1, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, talking again about those who reject Him. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Boys and girls, you know that you put a possession in a bag with a hole, you put something in your pocket with a hole, it's going to fall right through. What whether rich or poor, as Joel points out in Joel chapter 2, it is only with God's blessing, it's only with God's blessing that one can be satisfied. And dear people of God, the provision that our God gives today to His people is a down payment of His provision for eternity. But as the rich farmer who had those bumper crops and tore down his old barns and built bigger ones and said and kicked back and said, I'm going to take it easy for a while, as he found out the hard way, without the blessing of God, nothing, not even life itself, is secure. Beloved, why is the blessing of God necessary? Jesus says in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our life depends on God's blessing. Nothing will serve our purpose apart from the blessing of God. And we depend completely upon our God to provide us with all that we need and do so with His blessing. And then we are called to trust Him for it, as this petition is thirdly then a confession of our confidence in the provider. The last sentence of the Catechism answer, therefore may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in You alone. That's the call of Scripture, isn't it? But again, if we're honest, we must confess too that it's so easy to put our trust in our own abilities, or to put our trust in our employer, or in our bank account, or in our retirement plan. It's even easy to put our trust in our well-stocked pantries and freezers, and we know that so many in our society put their trust again in the government. But the truth is, confidence in these and many things like them, confidence is hopeless. It is temporary. Again, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus, and this is, maybe you notice, is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, He makes it clear that if God takes care of the things in this world that have no soul, like the animals, the birds, then those who have a soul and those who believe on Him ought to have no other object of confidence or trust than Him. He alone is sure, as David says in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. It's kind of a cute poem written by an Elizabeth Cheney from a couple hundred years ago. The Robin and the Sparrow, maybe you've heard of it. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. How many don't live that way, as if they don't have a heavenly Father, even those who call upon the heavenly Father, and they become anxious and worried throughout this life, constantly worrying about what they have or don't have. Beloved, we are able to have such confidence in our Heavenly Father that Jesus taught us to ask for our daily bread. And I emphasize it that way, us and our. Remember, we pray, give us. You see, we don't pray selfishly. But we pray on behalf of all of God's people. If we truly love our neighbor as ourselves, and here now we're talking about our neighbor in the narrow sense of the believer, the fellow believer, if we love our fellow believer as ourselves, then we desire for our fellow believer all that we desire for ourselves. And notice too that we call our daily bread ours again. And you see, it's not because it belongs to us by right. Boys and girls and young people, it's not because we have taken our hard-earned money to the store and paid for it. It's not ours because of anything that we have done. It is ours for a most beautiful reason. It is ours because it comes from our Heavenly Father. And in His fatherly goodness, He promises to give us what we need. And He has set apart our daily bread for our use. Those who are saved by the gracious hand of our Heavenly Father may expect that the very same Father will open His hand and care and provide for His children, just as parents do the same thing for our children in the home. Boys and girls, young people, When you come to the dinner table, you may claim a portion of the food that's there as your own. But the question is why? Maybe not what you think. Why are you able to claim a portion as your own? Because when your mom prepared for the meal, or your dad, some dads, but when your mom prepared the meal, she thought about how many mouths needed to be fed. And most likely she didn't say to herself, well, we've got five people in our family, so I'm going to make enough food for three. No, she didn't do that. She prepared enough food for every person in the household. And the same thing is true when it comes to our clothing. Parents have promised to provide for and to care for their children. It doesn't mean, though, that you're always going to have your favorite food. It doesn't mean you're going to have the most stylish, most expensive clothes. That's not what it means. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, you see, beloved, it's the same thing. We are not strangers coming to God asking for a handout. But we are children. We are His children. We are a part of His family for whom He has promised to take responsibility. And we are to trust in His providing hand. And we may have confidence that He will indeed provide. And then also we are called to be content and to truly pray this fourth petition. Then finally, lastly, is to make confession of contentment with the provider when we are given what we need. This petition asks for contentment. It asks for contentment, beloved, with the simple life. The simple life. Because we are taught to ask for the simple yet the necessary things of life. Bread represents the simple needs of life. And through this petition, we're not asking for physical food only, but we're asking for anything that is needed to sustain the physical side of life. So bread here represents food and clothing and shelter and health and work and whatever else is needful for us. The catechism answer begins again, provide for all our physical or bodily needs. It's a request that God would protect and cherish the life that He has given to us in this world, that He would supply us with that which He knows that we need. But now the $64,000 question is, what is it that we need? What is it that we need? Our Lord Jesus taught this prayer in a time when most people spent a good part of their day in activities related to gathering and maintaining sufficient clothes and shelter and daily food, even down to grinding the grain to make the meal in order to make the bread. In that setting, this petition asks for no more than what the people could reasonably expect or hope for. Today, we must confess that we take these very same necessities for granted, and our needs list has grown substantially so that yesterday's luxuries have become today's necessities, and today's luxuries will become tomorrow's right, which everybody ought to enjoy, our society says. Now, it is no secret that many of the luxuries of this life do make business and living easier. But as I heard our Vice President of the United States say this past week, all Americans have the right to high-speed internet regardless of their income level. But you see, beloved, these luxuries are not necessarily necessities. Much of what we consider a necessity and a right is not what Jesus calls bread here. We could list countless things, I'm sure. High-speed internet, even a computer, engaging in extracurricular activities. None of these things are necessities. We don't need them. If God has given them to us, it's not wrong to have them. It's not wrong to enjoy them, so long as we recognize the hand of the giver and so long as we enjoy them with thanksgiving and to His glory and without neglecting the kingdom of God. But we are not to set our hearts on them. We are not to seek them and to covet them. We are not to think that we deserve them. We are not to set them in the place of God. We are called to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. And with this fourth petition, we are called to be content and satisfied with the barest necessities of life. Indeed, we all have so much more than the barest necessities of life, but we are called to be content and satisfied with the barest necessities of life, which includes having today our daily bread. In other words, what Jesus is teaching us here, we are to ask for today and trust for the future. Tomorrow has not been given. Tomorrow has not yet even been promised to us. It may not be given. And that is why our concern is for today. Now, having freezers and pantries full of food and planning for the future, that's not wrong. God teaches us that through the ant in Proverbs. But you see, anxiety with regard to the future, as if God is not in control, that's wrong. Worry and anxiety about that which God controls, which then leads to doubt, that's sin. We are called to have a childlike faith that even if we go to bed tonight, and listen close to this, that even if you and I go to bed tonight with no food in the cupboards and no money in our pockets to buy food tomorrow, yet our childlike faith is that God has provided for today, and we trust that He will for tomorrow. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Does that describe your confidence in Him? Does that describe your faith in His provision? I must confess that I have a hard time, a really, really hard time with that. And beloved, what does daily bread mean? Well, the word that is used in Scripture, with that word, our Lord is teaching us to ask for enough, to ask for the proper portion, not to ask for more than enough, not to ask for less than enough, but just what is enough. Lord, please give us enough today for whatever situation of life lays before us. And we must confess that sometimes enough, according to our perspective, does not feel like enough even to fill our empty stomachs. Yet for whatever reason, God knows it's just what you and I need. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul calls for contentment in any and every situation of life, whether well-fed or hungry, in plenty or in want. And a man named Augur, boys and girls and young people, is helpful in Proverbs chapter 30. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me." Now why? "Well, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord?" Having too much and denying God. "Or, lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God, so that having too little turns me into a thief." So again, going back to the example I just laid before you, beloved, if you can't imagine going to bed tonight with no food in the house or no money to buy food tomorrow, and you can't imagine going to bed in that way and being content in the Lord about it, then ask yourself, have I enjoyed so much for so long that I have denied the Lord? And I have to ask myself that too. We must confess, beloved, that our appetites are for so much more than what we need. We have become addicted to the luxuries of life. But our prayer must be that God would curb our appetites so that we would not lose sight of Him. And I trust that it's clear, beloved, that this is indeed the believer's prayer, because the unbelieving man simply cannot possibly take this petition upon his lips, because everything it calls for is directly contrary to what he wants and he desires. What he wants and desires is more than just bread. He wants and desires more than just for today. He wants an abundance stored up. He's not satisfied with enough, but he wants the world. And in this life, we know that one is considered to be not normal if that one does not want or strive for the abundant life. The unbelieving man does not depend on God, but he depends upon himself. The unbelieving man is not content with daily bread for today, but he wants long-term security, because for the unbelieving world, bread is the end. After all, what is that bumper sticker theology again? The one who dies with the most toys wins? Never understood that one. But I've seen it on plenty of bumper stickers. The unbelieving man, beloved, fails to recognize the sovereignty of God, and so he does not realize he is on a slippery slope. What does the Bible say about those who store up treasures on earth? Moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. So, beloved, for what are you hungry? For what are you hungry? Are you satisfied with God's daily portion for today? Remember, as Peter says, we're pilgrims. To put it in our terms, we're campers. I'm not talking about RV camping where you take your whole house on wheels. I'm talking about tent and backpack, taking only the necessities of life, including that freeze-dried food. His promise is that those who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that all of these things, namely our daily bread, it'll be added to you and me. Why? Because of our eternal bread of life. Because of our eternal living water, Jesus Christ. Beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our bread. He was parched by thirst for our water in order to give us the rights as adopted children of God. He earned for us provisions for eternity, but also for this life. And for His sake, beloved, our daily bread is a promise and it is a gift of God's grace given to those who believe in Him as a means to glorify God, as a means to honor His name. And with our daily bread, then, on this side of glory, we are given strength to submit to God's kingdom rule. We are given strength to be obedient to His will, but we are also given strength to repent of our sins daily and to ask for forgiveness. And He gives us strength. He gives us His strength to flee temptation and evil. This is His guarantee for this life. Beloved, for those who reject the provision of God, they will never be filled. And they will suffer the agony of spiritual starvation forever and ever. But for those who taste and see that the Lord is good, they will enjoy eternal provision. They will enjoy the bounty of heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look around us, as we look at the society in which we live, in which there are those who demand that our government provide this, that, or the other thing, or try to tell us that people have rights that will cost someone else dearly, Father, we pray that You would help us not to get swallowed up in these things. That You would lead us by Your Spirit to do our work that You have provided, to do it diligently, to do it faithfully as a means by which You provide for our daily needs, and a means by which You help us to provide for the church and the kingdom of God and to support those whom You send to the mission field. Indeed, Father, not to hoard up the goods of this earth for ourselves, but to use what You provide as a preparation for the life to come. Oh, how we thank You and praise You that You are the great provider, that we are able to depend upon You completely. For You are perfect, and You love us with an everlasting love. Thank You, Lord, for granting to us that which we need, that You alone are able to give. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.